Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Luke 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, and Judas went to discuss with the chief priests and temple officers how he might betray Jesus to them. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. Judas consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He answered, "When you enter the city, a man carrying a jug of water will meet you. Follow him to the house he enters, and say to the owner of that house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, already furnished. Make preparations there." So they went and found it just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table with his apostles, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before my suffering, for I tell you that I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Look, the hand of my betrayer is with mine on the table. Indeed, the Son of Man will go as it has been determined. But woe to that man who betrays him." Then they began to question among themselves which of them was going to do this. A dispute also arose among the disciples as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So Jesus declared, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you shall not be like them. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who leads like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines? But I am among you as one who serves. You are the ones who have stood by me in my trials, and I bestow on you a kingdom, just as my Father has bestowed one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." "Lord," said Peter, "I am ready to go with you even to prison and to death." But Jesus replied, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied 3 times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you out without purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. "Now, however," he told them, "the one with a purse should take it, and likewise a bag, and the one without a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' For what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." So they said, "Look, Lord, here are 2 swords. "That is enough," he answered. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he came to the place, he told them, "Pray that you will not enter into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, where he knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And in his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When Jesus rose from prayer and returned to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd arrived, led by the man called Judas, one of the 12. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Those around Jesus saw what was about to happen and said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, temple officers, and elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs, as you would against an outlaw? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this hour belongs to you and to the power of darkness." Then they seized Jesus, led him away, and took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. When those present had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. A servant girl saw him seated in the firelight and looked intently at him. "This man also was with him," she said. But Peter denied it. "Woman, I do not know him," he said. A short time later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." About an hour later, another man insisted, "Certainly this man was with him, for he too is a Galilean." "Man, I do not know what you are talking about," Peter replied. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They blindfolded him and kept demanding, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other blasphemous things against him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and scribes, met together. They led Jesus into their Sanhedrin and said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." "Why do we need any more testimony?" they declared. "We have heard it for ourselves from his own lips." This is God's word. This lengthy chapter in Luke's gospel detailed Jesus' betrayal, Jesus' Last Supper, and his religious trial by the chief priests and teachers of the law, as we saw in verse 66. In between his Last Supper and his arrest, the disciples argued again about who was the greatest. We saw that in verses 23 through 30. Jesus assured them that they would all be great in his kingdom when he said, "I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's a quote from verses 29 through 30 in the NIV. Then Jesus turned and spoke to Simon Peter in verse 31. He told Peter that just as Satan had requested permission to strike Job, Satan also had, quote, "asked to sift all of you as wheat," unquote, in verse 31b from the NIV. This is a visual reference to separating the edible part of wheat from the inedible chaff that covers the wheat. Satan was asking to put all the disciples through trials in order to try to separate them from their faith. This should have been a chilling thing to hear. So Christ quickly added that he had prayed for Simon, specifically that your faith may not fail, as we saw in verse 32. But then Jesus said, "And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." These two phrases suggest that Peter would be the first to face the trial of his faith in God, and having withstood the test with his faith intact, Peter then should help the other disciples as they faced tests of their faith. But notice the phrase, "and when you have turned back," in verse 32b. This phrase indicates that Peter would struggle with the test of his faith. The specifics of that struggle were explained by Christ in verse 34, when he told Peter that he would deny Christ three times. Peter did face the test of his faith in verses 54 through 62, and as Jesus predicted, Peter struggled with the test. In three separate incidents, Peter denied knowing Jesus, as we saw in verse 57, Peter denied being a follower of Jesus in verse 58, and thirdly, Peter even denied understanding what was going on with Jesus in verse 60. So here we have one of the most vocal of Jesus' apostles, a natural-born leader who was part of Jesus' inner circle of three people, a man who had proclaimed himself ready to die with Jesus just a few hours before in verse 33. He was a man who evaded association with Jesus altogether when the pressure was on. And yet, apparently his faith did not fail, as verse 32 says. It sure looks like failure. So how do we reconcile all of this? Well, first, we need to understand that there is a difference between a failure of faith and a failure to admit to faith in Jesus. Peter's denial of Christ was a failure to admit being a disciple. It wasn't a complete failure of his faith, and it certainly wasn't a complete renunciation of Jesus. The fact that he wept bitterly in verse 62, after it happened, shows that his faith in Christ was genuine. The problem was that his faith was also weak. In that moment, his fear of being punished with Christ outweighed his belief that God would protect him or allow him to endure the trial with Jesus. It did not mean that he no longer believed in Jesus. Secondly, we need to understand that denying Jesus or renouncing your faith is more about a complete break with the Christian community than it is about one particular incident in someone's life. Judas rejected Jesus. He conspired with the Jewish leaders to betray Jesus, as we saw in verses 4 and 5, which meant finding an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present, as the words of verse 6 in the NIV put it. Judas's renunciation of Christ was a complete rejection of Jesus and a rejection of all that Jesus claimed to be. Judas's break with Christ and with Christianity was premeditated and based on greed. Peter's denial of Jesus was not premeditated, and it was based in fear, not in greed. What Peter did was lie about his faith in Jesus out of fear of persecution. What Judas did was completely reject Christ personally in such a way that Jesus would also be eliminated publicly. Finally, Peter's faith was strengthened by his trial, which is why God allows us to go through any trial of faith. Later in life, tradition tells us, Peter did pay the ultimate price for following Jesus. So what about us? There are times, aren't there, when we are put to the test and put on the spot, and we fail to speak up for Christ. Does that mean we're ashamed of Jesus, and that he'll be ashamed of us when he returns, as Luke chapter 9, verse 26 says? No, it doesn't mean that, unless that is followed by a complete rejection of Christ. What I'm saying is, Peter shows us that you can have true faith in Christ and still have moments of weakness where you deny being a follower of his. So don't be discouraged if you failed to follow Christ in some way. Instead, ask God to strengthen your faith so that you can stand with Christ and stand for Christ the next time your faith is put to the test. Again, this is why God puts us through trials, to strengthen our faith. So ask the Lord to strengthen your faith daily and ask him to help you to stand for Christ when your faith is put to the test. If you like these devotionals, sign up to receive them in your email by going to dailypbj.com/subscribe. Also consider financially supporting me if you can. Go to dailypbj.com/support to do that. And please share this with someone else. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.